its current state on 90.5 WKAR. In an effort to increase the United States' renewable energy portfolio, the wind industry has grown tremendously. Michigan is now home to just under 700 wind turbines. But not everyone is happy about wind farm projects. There have been complaints about wind turbines, including decreasing property values, noise, endangering wildlife, and an unusual disorder called shadow flicker. We'll learn more about that in a minute. Some people who reside near wind farms even claim that the turbines are making them ill. Jerry Punch is a professor emeritus in the Department of Communicative Sciences and Disorders here at MSU. As an audiologist, he's also been called upon as a witness in several disputes over wind turbines, and he's here to break down these complaints. Jerry, welcome to Current State.
Good to be here. Thank you.
How important is wind energy to the United States overall renewable energy production? Is an awful lot of anticipation being invested in that sector?
There has been, and it is a vital. It is an important component. It surprisingly, though, at this point, wind generates about 4% of all electricity in the country. That's not a lot. And only about 1.5% of that amount is actually consumed because of storage issues. It's very expensive, given the battery technology that's currently available to store the energy. So it has to be used when it's at the moment it's generated, essentially. If it can't go on the grid and be used, then it's lost, essentially. So not as much has come from the wind energy movement as was expected, I think.
But we've got some technological issues to
address
here.
There are some technological issues.
People still invest an awful lot of hope in that, I suppose.
Yeah, there are about 73,000 megawatts of energy generated in the states, as of the last quarter of 2013. But basically, the wind speed has to be about 8 miles an hour for the wind turbine blades to turn. And the rated capacity is reached only when the wind is about 30 miles per hour. And there really aren't that many places in Michigan except the shores of Lake Michigan and Lake Huron, and, of course, Lake Superior that turn up that much wind. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is that we generate electrical energy from wind at about 15% to 30% of the capacity of the wind turbines.
Okay. Now there's a lot of debate around wind energy. You've got people who are definitely advocates, and you've got those who are against it. Can you break down the major pros and cons here to wind energy?
Yeah. Everybody who's familiar with this knows that there definitely is a pro-wind movement. The energy companies, of course, are getting subsidies to produce wind energy with wind turbines. The pro-wind group, there are others too. The governments, in fact, are pro-wind, basically. We all should be pro-wind in a sense that it can generate some fairly substantial amounts of energy for us. Mm-hmm. As I said before, it's not doing as much as we had hoped. But the pro-wind group says install as many turbines as feasible. They don't believe that health is really an issue. They have denied to this point, to this date, that health is a problem. They say there's no definitive research to show that it's harmful, that is, turbines are harmful in any way. They say what you can't hear can't hurt you, because much of the talk about health has to do rather with the issue of infrasound, which is sound that you really can't hear. And there's a lot of, we'll talk about that if you want in a minute. The anti-wind group says wind energy is not economically viable in the United States. In most places, there's not really a lot of wind to turn the turbines. Of course, there's exceptions, as I mentioned, around Michigan. But Michigan is not one of the states that has a great rating as far as wind potential goes. Some areas of California, Montana, Wyoming, Iowa, even the Dakotas have possibly better potential.
See, it's mostly a plain state phenomenon. I saw the list of the top five states, and we're talking Minnesota, Iowa, I believe.
Iowa's
number
at the top. Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly, I think Iowa's the state that produces more of its energy with wind than other states, a greater percentage than other states. So the anti-wind folks there are people who say just stop all these projects immediately because wind energy is not economically viable. I think there's a third group. I try to put myself in that group. I certainly started out with a very neutral attitude, and I've come around to putting myself in a group I would call pro-health. Rick James, a colleague of mine, came up with that term as far as I know. But this group, I would say, install turbines where they're economically viable, but only at distances from people that don't put them at risk for their health. Mm. And I believe that what you can't hear can hurt you, because I think there's enough evidence that, number one, wind turbines do indeed produce infrasound, and there's a lot of literature dating back to the 80s and even back to the 60s, if you go back a little further, saying that infrasound in large buildings through large equipment like heating, ventilating, and air conditioning systems produces infrasound and some health effects associated with that sound.
Are these are vibrations, then, I take it? Well, is it fair to compare infrasound with a vibration?
It is, in the sense that an intense acoustic intense acoustic energy can vibrate objects, but it is not, if you think that wind turbines are just stuck in the ground like a tuning fork and vibrate the ground, that's not true.
And how can infrasound impact health exactly? Do we know much about that?
We know that wind turbines, as I said, do produce infrasound. There's also the possibility that there's electromagnetic waves, dirty electricity, that could produce some of these effects. But most of the problems associated with reports of health have to do with infrasound, we think, because the ear can process this sound, even though we don't hear it as audible sound. It goes to the brain. There are pathways to the brain that affect other areas than the primary auditory areas of the brain that can cause sensations like ear pressure, fullness of the ear, certainly dizziness, tinnitus, just strange feelings, tingling feelings, and that sort of thing. Mm. So that's why we think infrasound is really at the heart of the core of most of these complaints. Many, many of these complaints are anecdotal, but there is some hard research to suggest that it is indeed infrasound that's causing these problems.
Is what you've just described labeled wind turbine syndrome then, or is that something different?
Wind turbine syndrome was a term that Dr. Nina Pierpont, a New York pediatrician, came up with after she heard some complaints from families and started interviewing them. I believe she interviewed 38 people from 10 families, including a number of children. She found that the effects were some of the ones I mentioned. Certainly sleep disorders is a major complaint. Hmm. Dizziness and tinnitus, just general sensations of tingling. People had to leave their homes in some cases because of these strange sensations. Some people have had heart palpitations. That's more severe symptoms. We're not saying, and Nina Pierpont was not saying that everybody suffers these problems, even those who live fairly close to turbines. It's a fairly small percentage of people, but it's a non-trivial percentage. And as I said, a number of people have taken the drastic measure of leaving their homes because they can't tolerate.
So there is some amount of anecdotal evidence here that is fairly compelling.
It is. Epidemiologists, and I'm not an epidemiologist, but they tell us that adverse event reporting is the first step in establishing how bad a problem is and what may be causing the problem.
Well, Michigan has, I guess, just under 700 wind turbines here. Have you heard of many of these anecdotal accounts coming from our
state? Well, my first introduction to this area was right before I retired in 2011 in Ubley, which is in Huron County, the thumbnail of the thumb of Michigan.
Okay.
I went up there with my colleague, Rick James, and we interviewed families. One family who eventually filed a lawsuit. I was not involved in that lawsuit, but they have settled with the wind company. I'm not sure what the terms of the settlement were. I'm now dealing with a family in McBain, Michigan, in Masaukee County. who have the same problem. They were renovating their home, beautiful home that he had, as a construction person, had built himself, about 12-year-old home. They were adding to it, and a wind turbine was put right in front of their big A-frame type front of their house, a big glass, you know, covered area. And the wind company is saying that it's because they don't like the visual aspect of it. That's not it. We don't believe that's true. I interviewed them at length. In fact, I formulated an interview form questionnaire that indicates to me, taking them at their word, of course, and I do believe they're being very honest about their symptoms. They had to leave their home and live in a cottage some 20 miles away, and that is currently a pending lawsuit.
Do you see some? Do you see a lot of conflict in the future between the wind energy sector and the public at large here?
Well, there's a lot more happening. Yes, there has been some of that controversy, and I think it's getting worse. If you look on the internet, and again, this is where you get your anecdotal stuff, basically. Although there are a lot of newspaper articles that document these things, if you go deeper, there are court records. And there's scientific literature that sort of document all this as being factual.
Fascinating discussion. We want to thank you for coming in here today. Jerry Punch, an audiologist and professor emeritus in the Department of Communicative Sciences and Disorders here at Michigan State University. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you very much, Mark.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.